So welcome to Coach's Corner with Jam Consulting. Hi, I'm George Amadon, along with Greg Heffington, and we're your hosts. Hef, it's great having you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Our guest today is Dr. David Morrison of Morrison & Associates. Dr. Morrison specializes in organizational psychiatry and is a leader in the field of crisis management. Dr. Morrison, thanks for being here.
Delighted to be with you, George, and you too, Hef.
Thanks.
Great. Well, with what's happening in today's environment, you know, we've all experienced disruption, whether it be to the lives of our clients, peers and associates, as well as ourselves and our families. What we'd like to do is discuss and shed some light on three key factors that are evident today. Those three factors are a loss of routine, followed by a need to act, and finally, a loss of connection, and share some simple recommendations or exercises that you, our listeners, can do to help yourself so that you can more easily help others. So Hef, let's get started and dig into that first factor, the idea of loss of routine.
Thanks, George. And again, thanks, Dr. Morrison, for joining us. You know, as someone who's been working from home for, you know, well over 30 years, this is not the same. It really does feel significantly different. And I know that my life has been disrupted, and I've got to believe that anyone who hasn't been disrupted in their daily lives is really can't be many people. So I'm curious, you know, sort of, you know, Dr. Morrison, do you know anybody who hasn't been disrupted by this COVID-19 thing?
You know, there likely is somebody out there, but I haven't met them yet. And I would imagine it's somebody who works in a basement somewhere or some laboratory, some single apartment, and perhaps produces computer code or something and has a product that they turn out, or, you know, somebody who is truly somebody in the wilderness that's living off the land in a national park somewhere. But yeah, many people are describing what you described, that, hey, working from home is not new to me, but this is new to me. So yeah, it feels like a universal, worldwide, sociological, some kind of experiment. And we're all going to go through it together, and it is quite disruptive.
Well, I think certainly from a standpoint of people who haven't worked from home and now are in the position, I mean, I know that's got to be a pretty significant disruption to their routine. And when I think about routine and I think about sort of the elements that make that up, you know, why is that so important?
Well, the basic answer to that sense of being out of balance or kind of being off, not ourselves, is because all of our lives, since we were infants, since we were first born, our minds, our brains have been working to see patterns. And when those patterns are out of whack, we feel literally ill at ease. We don't feel comfortable. And so we're trying to find the new pattern, and it's challenging. I was talking with a bank recently and described just this common experience I think everybody's having, which is most of us are still trying to work. We have work to get done, but our kids are home and they have to get work done too, as do our spouses. And our internet, you know, something basic as simple as that is flipping on and off. So you get some momentum, you start getting something done, and then the internet goes off. But at its core, Greg, essentially it's not having that balance, not having that predictability. It just increases overall, and we're already in a state of anxiety. It's just like a thermostat. It turns our anxiety up a little bit more. One of the experiences I had when I was in training, which took me a while to understand and see the pattern, and once I saw the pattern, it wasn't quite as upsetting. But when you're in training, you rotate from hospital to specialty to hospital to specialty, and you're changing about every 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes every month. And I used to experience this kind of off balance, even you could say psychological kind of dizziness, because I was disoriented. I didn't know I was supposed to be at this place. I didn't know I had this meeting. And I think we're all kind of experiencing that now of, oh, I don't know that software. Who's running this meeting? How do you get my screens on the slide? I mean, my slides on the screen so everybody can see them. That's the root cause. We need to be able to see a pattern and have that, you know, predictability so we can go forward and do all the work that we've been doing forever without really thinking about it. But now all that other stuff requires concentration and it leaves us feeling off balance.
David, it's George. You know, touching on this whole idea with routine and how we, you know, we feel we need it, but what stops us from creating that new routine or taking so long to identify what it is? What holds us back?
Well, you know, first, I think it's something that we have to be thoughtful about, not beating ourselves up too much about. When we have novelty, when we have new things we're trying to figure out, whether or not we're new parents or we're a new couple just recently married or we have a new job, there's a certain amount of attention and concentration on those things that is drains us because it's taking mental energy to think about. So many of us feel a certain impatience that we're not back up, even though we got the computer in front of us, we got the routine of our day, we got our coworkers, we got our email inboxes, everything is generally the same, but overall these different things are requiring our attention. So we may have, for example, things we didn't even think of, but and this may happen to me because I'm working here at home, but someone may come up to the front door and ring the doorbell and my dog may bark, you know, or other people have young children and they may need a nap or they may fall down and hurt themselves and mommy or daddy is right there. Why can't they attend to me? Now, on the flip side, you know, I just got off the phone with somebody, a professional service firm, who's loving that. Because she says, that just makes the other people I work with so much more human when I can see them with their children, when I can see them with a toddler on their lap. But what I think is important is kind of like Dr. Fauci talks about with the virus. The virus determines the timeline. We don't determine the timeline. Same with this. It's going to be some kind of natural process until we feel a rhythm, but we can't say, by April 15th, I'm going to be perfectly in command of my day or my work week.
You know, David, you know, as you're kind of walking through this, and it makes me think, and Hef mentioned this at the front end, that, you know, we've worked from home and been in this situation for a number of years. And so you would think that we'd be able to find that new routine fairly easily, but are there some things that you could recommend that would help us when we're looking at trying to create that new routine, that some things that we should be thinking about?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, what's most important with the overall response psychologically to this, because it does make us anxious, it is scary, there is a threat out there, is to retain strategy, or at least an attitude of there are some things that I can control. So this is a great one to be thinking about how and where am I going to manage things. One of the first ones, which I think people are still trying to figure out, and this takes time, is how do you put the family? Because now we've been reinserted back into the family. How do you put the family into more of a competent role? In other words, how can you bring grade school kids? How can you bring teenagers in and others who may be in the home together to solve the problem of doing the work, of getting through the workday? The kids have work to do. We have work to do. So on a regular basis, I recommend if you can daily or every other day, have dinner together and talk about what is the work that we have to do and who needs what when. Having a regular structure, a predictable flow of the day, so that you get up, you get dressed, and you go to work. The woman I was talking about, she just said, you know, Used to like to stay at home because I could be in pajamas, but now with video conferencing, I have to get dressed up. And I was thinking that's good because now it puts you in the attitude of going to work and being presentable and being thoughtful about others who are seeing you, which is a very important part of work. So having boundaries on your day, that this is when I start, this is when I stop, this is work, this is non-work, can be very helpful. Putting the family to work on it, and engaging with others in terms of what's a realistic learning curve. You know, how are you doing? Who's doing well and why? All those kind of practical steps can be helpful to find that routine and get back into a sense of balance and predictability.
That's great, Dave, and thank you for that. You mentioned this, that, you know, kind of building out or creating that routine, it's important to focus on what you can control. And I think that's one of the things that we all deal with is, and in situations like we're dealing with today, it's really easy to focus on the things that we can't control. And so I guess from your perspective, what are some of the things that you would say we can control in this environment versus what we can't control?
That's really that's really the question of wisdom. I think some of this we'll know better, George, when it's over. Like, I was trying so hard to do X with my clients or to do X with my project, and there was just not, it wasn't going to happen for a variety of reasons. Because I know, looking back, it was X. I think there's an arrogance, even a hubris about work, the workplace in general, that you can control and direct and manage life and what life brings in terms of our modeling, our forecasting, our strategic plans. And this is a very humbling experience to be able to say, well, sometimes there's something that comes along that isn't something you can fit into your calendar. You can't send an invite in the middle of May to say this COVID crisis is over. It's going to be resolving, but it will probably forever change those of us who are experiencing right now, even young children. It's going to forever change us in ways that we may not formally know. So there's the seeing yourself as a center of control, and yes, I can get up, I can get my work done, I can be responsive, I can protect time to think, which is really important, not just reacting to everything, but thinking, okay, what are the opportunities right now? What's the opportunities for my business? What are the opportunities for my career? But then also being humble and saying, well, there are some worst case scenarios. What if this happens? What if that happens? And I can't control it. So it's similar, I think, George, to maintaining or doing your best to protect your physical health. There are things you can do, but if you get a cold or you happen to get a chronic illness, now you have to learn how to live with that and be reasonable and comfortable with the reality of what you're dealing with. I've got a colleague who... he advises CEOs, senior executive boards, and this concept I'm going to share with you is just shared with the House of Lords in the United Kingdom. He says there's basically two pandemics going on. One is the COVID pandemic, and the second one is actually a pandemic of anxiety. And those two, they reinforce each other and make things worse. So... with both of them, there are things we cannot control in terms of our physiological response or relative vulnerability to the virus in terms of we don't have immunity to it yet. But there are things that we can control. We can isolate. We can follow the direction of the specialists, the epidemiologists and the physicians who've seen these and treated these. And we can take control of the things I talked about as it relates to work. So this that question is going to be a very difficult one and to know precisely, but those are the general principles, I would say, George.
Well, thanks, David. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Morrison, as I sort of hear this, you know, the thought process, this, you know, I mean, really the idea of, you know, two real pandemics going on here. The anxiety element, I think, is the one that sort of drives a lot of sort of where people are having difficulty finding this thing called routine. It would seem to me that this idea of really thinking about it and focusing on the things you can control, I think one of the challenges is, you know, how do you come to an assessment? You know, we've all got our mission, and somehow or another, you know, how we get that done, it has got to be a thoughtful process, not something that's just not just reactive. And I know, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit, but this idea of building a routine around it is really interesting from a standpoint. Loss of regular routine. Now we're in the process of trying to build a new routine, and really understanding our mission may be a pretty significant part of that. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, very much. In fact, Greg, I think that may be the most important question to reflect on and to harvest ideas from. The world is different. The way we're working is different now. The walls and the, you know, the supports, the structures of our work lives are evolving, and they're more fluid now. But to protect time, and it's really hard to do. I imagine you and George and the listeners have all hopefully or know somebody who has tried to go to the grocery store recently. And it's mentally draining. You have to be thoughtful and planful to go and do that. And then how do you bring that food into your house? I mean, that's just one of many examples of thinking about sheltering in place. So that last thing that you're describing, that kind of thoughtful reflection and planning and putting this in context and thinking about what comes next, is probably the hardest thing to do when you're mentally exhausted and you don't really have time to do it. Your day fills up. It doesn't look like it's necessarily that full. But by the time the day is done, many of the people I'm talking to currently are describing putting in less than a full day, but being mentally exhausted and tired earlier. So they're confused. They're like, wait a minute, I didn't put in a full day. I didn't really work a full day, but I'm ready to go to bed at 9 o'clock. So these things are going to resolve. I think we're going to hit some rhythms and there will be new problems, but they won't be as sort of immediately challenging. If you think about where we were just a month ago, middle March or early March, I mean, there was no shelter in place in Illinois where I am, or pretty much anywhere else, and go back 6 weeks, it was being laughed at. It wasn't really taken seriously. And now all of a sudden it's the world's turned upside down. So this period is going to be probably the hardest, but those who can find a time in the week or in the day or on the weekend to do that reflection on that question you asked, Greg, I think are going to be put themselves at a competitive advantage.
Well, David, I'm, you know, this, it's really valuable, I think, to sort of hear this sort of situation sort of unfold and the opportunity to sort of look at it. And if I could sort of summarize some of where we think for our listeners, you know, you started off with this idea of, you know, sort of why is it so difficult? And the fact of the matter is this patterns, you know, the reason it's there, the patterns are out of whack. And I love that technical term, which I think leaves us fatigued. And, you know, there is a point where the novelty of it may have been exciting, I think along the lines of a vacation. But, you know, this became a novelty that just flat wears you out, because there is the difficulty in finding a routine. So, and we're still looking for that pattern. I think that's out there. And realistically, as we kind of go there, finding a new routine is really difficult. And yet, at the same time, you came up with a few ideas that I think are really helpful here. One is retain an attitude to focus on what you can control. And in some respects, I would say that sort of embrace the novelty of the situation. Secondarily, engage your immediate individuals immediately around you, whether that's family, whether it's friends, cohorts, whatever it happens to be, where you're isolated and you're sort of sheltering in place. This idea that you've got other people around you at a minimum, engage them, bring them to the table. And I love the idea of, you know, every morning sit down at breakfast and, you know, this one moment in time and problem solve the day together, or at least every other day or something, and find a way to sort of bring everybody exactly into the equation.
Right.
I love the idea of getting dressed for work. That's something I've started to do more often now, knowing that I've got, you know, tons of stuff to get done. I think that helps establish a routine. And then last but not least is this idea of, you know, protect time when you can, and realistically, in some moment every day, take a realistic assessment of your mission and what you need to accomplish, and establish a plan around that mission. Is that fair? Is that reasonable?
No,
is
very
good
nice
takeaways.
Yeah, in fact, Greg, it's always nice to talk to you, because as we think and talk together, we can build on these ideas. But just, yeah, those are great. And I would just add one more thing that you triggered in me, which is the guy that came up with that idea, his name is Kerry Sulkowitz, and he's kind of a renowned psychiatrist advising business out of New York City of the double pandemic. But he says what we want to do is what you just described, which is make sure what we're doing is reality-based. And is not, as we feel the anxiety, we have to feel it, and that's part of reality. But make sure that what we then do is perceive reality accurately, and that we continue to think, basically. We continue to problem solve, because if we let our minds get paralyzed, we lose time, and we end up having more work to do. So, yeah, that was an excellent summary.
Right. Well, thanks, Dr. Morrison. Really appreciate your input, your feedback, and the opportunity. For our listeners, thanks for taking the time to listen. If you'd like to hear more on the other factors that need to act and loss of connections, you know, listen to the next couple podcasts. And if you'd like to like more information or just need to talk, reach out to us at jamconsultinggroup.com. We're here to help you. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time today.